you.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's been really it's our honor. It's this has been the chance of a lifetime to be able to spend this much time with the canoe and get to go to these places we'd never get to go.
So awesome. And then you get those moments like the Potomac.
Oh my gosh. You know?
Were you thinking George Washington at all in the back of your mind?
We went right by his house, Mount Vernon. We went right by there. On the left-hand side on the hill, there's Mount Vernon. And then on the right is Piscataway, all the native peoples. Some tribes hadn't come together for many decades, but they did for us to welcome us to this place.
How did that happen? Was it your ed team advance work there that got the word?
You know, I honestly believe it has to do with the mana of the canoe at the base of it. And so when people hear about the canoe coming, they put their best version of themselves forward and they come with aloha all over the world. And so when you get to a place like Piscataway, the idea of the canoe and this audacious dream of this canoe that's coming around the long way to the East Coast inspired everyone to say, hey, we need to welcome these people the proper way. One of the things that I really admire about the voyage, now looking back on it a little bit, is that we always asked the First Nations peoples from these different places for permission to come. We never said we're coming. We said, would it be a good idea to come? Is it possible for us to come to honor the native peoples of this place? And that out in the East Coast is something that's rare. Like these guys had said, nobody had asked for permission to come to this place they were saying hundreds of years, right? And so this was an opportunity, I think, to celebrate native knowledge. Certainly an opportunity to look at the ways at which we are more common than we are different. And so it ended up bringing a lot of people together to make it all happen, because the effort to coordinate it is massive, right? I mean, I just sailed last week 2,500 miles, the same route that would have been sailed.
You just got off the canoe.
I just got off the canoe. The same route for the first time for me that was sailed for thousands of years to get people here, to bring all of our ancestors here. And it's far. There's no land in between the two. It's far and it's open. And I'm wondering the same question on board a canoe a couple of weeks ago that you just asked, like, what were they doing out here?
Where did they think they were going? I mean, when we go out into space, we can kind of see the point we're going for.
Well, I mean, and I guess I would say that the power of observation is that they could see those points, that the ability for Nainoa's teacher, Maupialuk, to see the clues is entirely different than what the students now see, right? The depth of knowledge, the understanding. I mean, I've seen him do it.
What's that like, Na'alehu?
It's like...
Was he reading the world with his body?
Yeah, it's like watching these navigators on this last trip observe and learn and find direction and struggle and then get to the end of 2,500 miles and be just a few miles off. Means to me, like, this is this amazing turn of events that has been building for really thousands of years, really.
At the last, there always seems to be something like faith or trust in there.
Yeah. The day we found land, we're sailing and sailing, and we get to the morning meeting. We hadn't seen land the day before. We knew we were in the box of where land was. And Bruce Blankenfeld, who's he's a Poe navigator, he came on as like the sailmaster, as like the teacher, basically. He doesn't say anything the whole trip, right? He won't give any navigational clues. He just, you know, he just let the navigators do their thing. And he says, you know, the one piece of advice I have for you guys today is patience. Just be patient. We know it's there. Just wait. It's going to come to you. The land will come to you. And so we're waiting and everybody's watching and there's this humming energy, right? There's this anticipation, right?
You're all looking in the same direction.
No, we found out, like, we know land's below us. We know we're above the big island, right? By strategy, we knew we were above the big island. We found out and we're looking around. And everybody's watching, and then there's this huge bank of clouds below us, and we know the big island's under there, but you can't say, oh, that cloud is land. You have to see the land in order to call it. And then out in front of us, there's this dark, dark, faint, super faint shadow. So we're watching it, and the shadow doesn't move. So it's not a cloud. All day it's just sitting there. And as we get closer, you can start to see the defined edge. And then finally, we call it. We say, okay, that's land. And it can't be the Big Island. It has to be Haleakala because of where we know we are, how high we are. And so you know, everybody celebrates a little bit and we call it. And so then at that point, the strategy changes, right? We say, okay, we found land. We know it's Maui. Mm-hmm. The navigational experiment is over. And so we take a plot. We want to know where we are on a lat-long plot because they want to start to do the measurements to where we got to go. And also they want to know how far out they were. So Bruce calls Nainoa on a satellite phone and he says, hey, we saw Maui, Haleakala. And this long pause. And Nainoa says, no way. You're too far away. And Bruce says, no, we see it. And Nainoa says, I'm watching you guys on the tracker. You guys are too far away. And Bruce says, well, we just took a picture of it. We're going to send it to you. I fire up the satellite. I sent it over. And there's this Mauna in the frame, right? Sent over. And he calls back. And he's like, you guys, this is like the math is impossible. And yet, there's this island sitting there looking for you, waiting for you. That when we took the plot, we were 130 miles away from the island. There's these books that say the height of the mountain versus, you know, the climate that you're in is going to give you a range, a circle of how far away you can see that thing. And they're saying that these mountains, the farthest you can see them is 120 miles. But they had seen it all morning, right? Yeah, I don't know. Unexplainable, but. It's just the mana of the voyage. Again and again and again, you see these things.
Hmm. Yeah. Can you take us on board, maybe to a nighttime there? Because I have a feeling that you stand out in the sky at night and you're different than we are.
Yeah. For the last 20 years of sailing, I've only stood one watch. It's the 2 to 6 watch. Mm-hmm. So it's 2 to 6 in the afternoon, and then it's 2 to 6 in the morning. And the reason why I stand that watch is because as a photographer, it means that I'll be up for every sunrise and sunset and golden hour. And so I'll shoot in and around those times. But the 2 to 6 watch is my favorite because you come up at 2 a.m. And everybody goes down. And so there's only three or four of you on the deck.
What are you supposed to be doing?
Our primary job is to hold the course. In the Northern Hemisphere, the North Star was right in front of us. We could see the Southern Cross would be almost setting behind us. We would have Maui's fishhook off our port stern. And then the one thing that we waited for every morning was we would just wait for Venus to rise on our starboard beam. And Venus is really, really bright in the morning. And so even when it was cloudy, you could still see the glow of Venus before the glow of the sun came up and the sun filled the sky. And so Venus is a great navigational marker, a great navigational tool. So a lot of times we would use Venus for hours at a time and just steer and just hold the course.
Does living in Hawaii mean anything different after a trip like this?
Mm. You know, we have this male lady up at our place at our office, you know, and she knows we're the guys that are working on the voyage. And so I saw her just before I left on this trip. And she says, hey, okay, I'm going to take a vacation. Where's the best place you went? She tells me, where's the best place, right?
You should know.
And I go, Auntie, you know what? This is the most beautiful place right here. All these places we went. Incredible stories, incredible people, but we cannot take Hawaii for granted. This is the most beautiful place. And so, to answer your question, right, we come back, and it's like I come back more fierce in wanting to protect this place and take care of it. And then the spirit of what comes out in the canoe is like, it's not woe is me, what are we going to do? It's like, let's figure it out. They figured out how to get here. They figured out how to hang out here for a couple of thousand years. Let's figure out what's next. Let's figure out how to do it together as an island community, as a place that has been resilient for all these thousands of years. We'll figure it out.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Alejo. Thank you for having me. This is, I haven't really had any time to reflect until just now.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.